Welcome everyone to the Your Ball Was Out podcast. Today we are going to be talking to Forbes article writer Tim Newcomb, a recurring guest on the podcast, and we are very excited to bring him on to talk about the 2024 season and what gear we saw that was highlighted and may or may not have been missed this past year on the tennis tour. Now we talk from a wide range of products as well as what we can expect from Nike in Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz with the amount of money that they have reportedly have been making from the Portland, Oregon company. Now we're very excited to bring you this interview, but before you guys do enjoy this interview, make sure you are following the podcast. Make sure you are hitting that bell to make sure you know whenever we release a podcast, you will be the first to know. And make sure to follow us on all our social media channels as well as our YouTube channel under Tweenerhead Tennis. Now enjoy our interview with Tim.
You know how much I love to just start things and just ramble on until I end up finding the conversation, the start to the conversation. There's no end piece. It's just start that just trails off. Tim, welcome back. I met Tim in real life. That helps anyone. Finally met in person at the US Open this past year. Man was dressed in all black when it was probably 85 degrees out.
It was warm. Yes, that was a warm day for me from the West Coast, you know, coming to 80 plus degrees. But hey, you know, when your wardrobe's all black, then that's what you go with.
That's fair. Also, are you on a medicine ball or do you just bounce?
Yeah, I shouldn't be bouncing. Right? I realized that as I was answering your question.
For those of you that are just listening, Tim, when Tim was answering that question, all he did, I just see his head going up and down like this. And I'm going, Tim, are you okay? No, it's
gotta
just
work.
Got to work the core.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Office?
Yeah.
You know, when Dwight pulls out the medicine ball and Jim just pokes it with scissors. That's how I feel like we're having this conversation right now.
Well, fortunately, we're not meeting in person with the medicine ball, so I think I'm safe for this one.
Perfect. Tim, the question I asked you before we started recording is, how are you and what's new? And Tim responded, fine, and nothing has changed. So we're just going to get straight into the conversation. Tim, in terms of 2024, the year, in terms of gear and new pieces coming out of clothing, shoes, rackets, gear, how would you say 2024 was in terms of innovation?
In terms of innovation, that's interesting, because I think when you look at a year in review type idea, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you consider both, you know, what made noise, mm-hmm. and what was actually, you know, important. And sometimes those are the same things, and sometimes those are completely different. Mm-hmm. As far as innovation, you know, I think in terms of footwear, because mm-hmm. I always start with footwear, all my conversations start with footwear, it seems. I don't know that we had like massive innovations in footwear. We saw ASICS continue to kind of, in my opinion, dominate a little bit in terms of performance. Okay. I think you've got New Balance, obviously, with the Coco CG2 and some mm-hmm. of their silhouettes. I think to me right now in performance footwear, those are the two you have to look at as leading the pack, would be mm-hmm. ASICS and New Balance. Nothing earth shattering from either of them, but just kind of moving forward for both mm-hmm. of them, I would say. And then, you know, as you've noticed and mentioned in different pieces you've done, you know, Yonex is doing a nice job with their frame. So I think, you know, that's interesting. We can always talk about Wilson and Roger, because I love talking about Roger. So, you know, you have that whole new franchise that's born. Mm-hmm. So you've got that going on. So I think from an innovation point of view, I'm not sure that there's been anything earth shattering, but some steady increases, especially in footwear and and rackets.
I think if we were to start with the shoe piece of it, we, like you said, ASICS has kind of been headlining, especially with athletes that are not fully sponsored by one brand. If we take a look at Berrettini with Boss, with ASICS, same thing with Taylor Fritz, On Running as well, Novak with ASICS. You have a lot of athletes that are, I don't know if I'm using this term right, but co-sponsored by two major brands for two different pieces of apparel and major ones for that fact. It's not like they're like Lacoste and Nike when they kind of got their shoes when you signed with Lacoste. Now Lacoste has its own shoe. When we look at brands like that, how does it really matter when players kind of get a second sponsor like that? Does that overshadow anything that they do with their main sponsor, like Boss? Like Boss did a collaboration with ASICS to have their own colorway for, I think it was Berrettini, what, last year or the year before?
Last year with Berrettini, yeah, the tan and black, that's the signature colors of Boss, we saw on the ASICS Gel Res, which was a good shoe. And that's actually how Taylor Fritz got into wearing ASICS. So how these deals work are obviously Boss, we'll take the Taylor Fritz deal because that was new in 2024.
Yes, huge, actually, but for big news too. That's like Fritz leaving Nike as one of the top Americans to go for Boss, which Boss has yet only to go to Berrettini, and I don't think any, maybe some of the younger German women players that are wearing Boss, but I don't think I see any top women players wearing Boss yet.
No top women players wearing Boss. But with the Fritz deal, he's done with Nike, so now he has head to toes open, obviously, and Boss doesn't have footwear. So they signed the deal with Boss for the apparel, and that's the deal. That's and Boss doesn't care at that point what the footwear looks like. They send him some of the collab, the Berrettini Boss ASICS Gel Res collab. They send it to Taylor because obviously, if they'd rather he wear that than nothing at all, than a
Fair
Nike
enough.
pair, whatnot, right? So they're just, and also a way to welcome him to the brand. When these people sign new contracts, they get sent tons of the new gear because obviously you're now Taylor's not going to be wearing Nike anymore. So he's got to get refreshed his whole closet. So they send him the Gel Res, and he told me he put it on and he hasn't put another shoe on. Like that's how it happened. So
Love
before
that.
he even had a conversation with ASICS about what is this contract going to look like, or are you even interested in me or anything, he put the shoe on and said, "This is the shoe I'm going to wear. I'm going to wear the Gel Res from ASICS. Now let's go get a deal done." And I think what you see, you brought it up with Boss. What you see with ASICS is they are a footwear company, and they care extremely. The amount they care about their footwear, is
He's
far
number
outshadowed.
one.
Yeah, the apparel they don't even care about to a point. I mean, I don't say they don't care,
No, they
but
do
like
care,
how.
but if we look at ASICS as a brand, ASICS, the shoe is their staple when it comes to being a part of a player or a sport. It's shoes first. That
Yes.
at least we can say shoes first, apparel second.
Right. And they told me, when I talked to the president of ASICS North America this year, he told me that exact thing, that it's the footwear that they're focused on. And that was right before they had signed Ons. And so Ons is another one where
Another one.
ASICS only, that happened this year. Taylor Fritz, ASICS, I should say footwear only, that
Footwear
happened
only.
this year. That's a brand that you see that doesn't mind not being head to toe. They don't mind sharing billing, so to speak. And I've talked to agents that, it can be good for an athlete too, because now you have Taylor Fritz, who obviously, if a brand has him, they're going to want to market him. Well, now you have both Boss and ASICS are going to market him. So that's good for Taylor Fritz, the brand, to be marketed by both. Now, obviously, there's benefits to, having just one brand and, getting blown up, and there's benefits to the brand to not share space. But it's obviously worked for ASICS with, Berrettini. You mentioned them, Berrettini, Fritz, Ons Jabeur, And then the biggest one would be Novak Djokovic, obviously.
Yes. And when we talk about Novak too, if we were to stay in that line of conversation or that line of train of thought, I should say, ASICS is a big sponsor for him. But ever since Lacoste came into the shoe market with when they first did their, what was it, 2019, they released their first real tennis shoe. And then Medvedev kind of got his own branded one. Like Lacoste is now in fully in tennis with shoes, with apparel, even a little bit with gear with their Technifiber relationship. So
Well, not relationship, ownership.
ownership, exactly. Thank you. See, this is why I have Tim on. Tim can correct me on all these things. But when it comes to Lacoste like that, is Lacoste kind of kicking themselves at the fact that they didn't get Novak on the shoe, or is the ASIC deal just that big for Novak?
Look, well, first off, when it all happened, when these contracts were signed, there was no shoe for Lacoste to put Novak in. So it's kind of a moot point because it couldn't have even happened at the time,
Gotcha.
and they're not going to spend the money
Yeah.
to add the footwear deal on top of the apparel deal that,
Okay.
they're already pushing him on.
But the apparel deal that they have with Novak, at least from all the photos that are coming out in China, Lacoste does, for him, I don't see another brand like that at any point market him like they do with photo shoots, with exclusive Lacoste pieces of clothing that they're doing with him. How does Lacoste invest that much into tennis, or is Novak more the face of the Lacoste brand?
I think what we're seeing, I'm going to answer your qu question a little bit more broadly than just
Go for it.
Lacoste. I think what we're seeing, and we've been seeing it for the last couple years, is the expansion of tennis apparel. Take the traditional Nike head to toe out of it, and you have all these brands, and we can get into it later, all the little brands, the little tennis brands, but huge, maybe global athleisure brands that are now in tennis and have one, two, three, half a dozen athletes that they're sponsoring just apparel because they don't make footwear even, or
Exactly.
maybe they make, if you're Lululemon, you make a running shoe, but you're not making a tennis shoe. So you have this opportunity to focus in on one player or a couple players. Obviously, Lacoste has a small group of players, not just Novak, male and female. And so you have the opportunity to really zero in on a specific player without alienating the rest of your group, without, really spending that much to do it. You mentioned the photo shoots in Asia. Novak had some unique photo shoots. Go on the Lacoste Instagram and check it out. There's he's
Not gonna
wearing some.
lie, not gonna lie, the Lacoste that they did on, was it the Great Wall of China that they did a pop-up on? I have to look at that again. That was it, they did something so unique, but the branding, even when they brought all those athletes together, I think for the Olympics, like that was phenomenal. Honestly, I think Lacoste is one of the most, even though it's expensive, it's probably one of the most underrated brands when it comes to style, and because I now know it as primarily a tennis brand. I used to remember wearing the polos all the time as a kid. That makes me sound like a bit of a preppy guy, but it's true. Like they were known for the polo shirts, but now it's fashion. It's not tennis. It's fashion. Fashion in tennis.
Yeah, and I think they would be pretty excited to hear that because obviously, for those that don't know the history, Lacoste started by a tennis player, René Lacoste, credited with inventing basically the polo shirt that we all know. Like non-tennis players know what the polo shirt is. It's ubiquitous across North America and Europe. So Lacoste is the polo shirt. Lacoste is tennis history, but then didn't spend time in the sport for a while, became a fashion brand, and are now really, to their credit, getting back into the sport, mining their roots a little bit now that tennis is popular again from a fashion point of view. Because you have to think, Lacoste as a fashion brand, 10 years ago, tennis was not, making waves culturally from a fashion point of view. The last couple of years we've seen, whether you hate the phrase or not, tennis core, is a thing. And that's tennis, fashion is a thing. Well, Lacoste is considered a leading fashion brand. So with tennis in history, they're going to really play into that. Where some other brands are just doing it to stay with the trends, Lacoste is able to do it with a little bit of, they'd like to market it as office authenticity.
And I think you don't see that in a mass market like tennis because they have to pump out new pieces every tennis season, every hard court, every clay, every grass, every because it's based around essentially the Grand Slams. You lead up to the Grand Slam and then you get the new pieces that are leading up to that. And I feel like Lacoste has done such a great job with being that brand for, like you said, I think you put it best is like it's Lacoste is tennis history. And by using that as its core, it makes the brand even more valuable and attention grabbing when it comes to style and fashion in the sport.
Yeah, and it doesn't help to have Novak along the way.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely doesn't. I actually meant to ask you this earlier, and I wonder if you know the story of it. This is, I did not t tell Tim this before he came on, so I'm hoping it doesn't go poorly. The French tennis player that's sponsored by ASICS that got dropped by ASICS supposedly for wearing the Travis Scott low shoes. Do you know the story that I'm referring to?
I know the story. I don't have the background. Like, I don't have an inside story, but yeah, I mean, if I was ASICS, I'd drop him too. So for those that don't know, he was walking out to court wearing or holding like so he was wearing his ASICS shoes, but he was carrying a
Not
pair
even.
of Nikes, the Travis Scott Nikes, for no apparent reason. So that's yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Is it too much of cutting the player entirely off the brand just by one incident, or do you think this was a recurring thing? Because from a
Well,
brand standpoint, it has to be said in their contract that you shouldn't be wearing other brands, especially when you're coming out onto the court, right? That's just a big no-no.
it's
But
specific in the contract that you can't represent other brands when you're on the court. Like
okay.
that's going to be black and white in the contract. There's no
Got it.
disagreement. Now, if this is a player, we're not even remembering the guy's name. Let's be clear. That's
And we're going to
one.
put it up on the screen, and I'm going to put a little voice note in it for those that are listening of who it was, so
But
that way
that's one
people
of the
know.
reasons that you're okay dropping him, right? Because he's obviously not living up to the contract that you had hoped he would live up to, because
Yes.
nobody knows who he is. The only reason people know who he is because he's breaking a promise.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do you want him representing your brand? And there's some brands that, are maybe a little bit more big on loyalty than others. And most are. I mean, follow the contract or don't be with
Yeah.
us.
Yeah.
But ASIC is definitely going to be a loyal, follow the contract type brand. So to do something like that, he's either right at the end of a contract and trying to get Nike's attention, or
Okay.
he's on the outs anyway. Like, it's the kind of thing you know what you're doing when you're doing that. I mean, it's not like he's,
Yeah.
oh my, this is shocking to me. It's an obvious thing.
It's an obvious thing, and I like when you put it that way, it makes more sense because if I, especially going back to what we just talked about, ASICS is a shoe brand. They like that should be their only thing that you should be paying attention to when you're, he wasn't even wearing them. That's what's stupid. I'm sorry. If you're gonna flex on people with, I guess resale value of those is probably still 1800, maybe 1000, but you're repping shoes that you're not even gonna wear that are worth over a grand, and you're telling me like, oh no, like that's fine. My sponsor would like that. You're, no offense, don't be an idiot. And speaking of players in footwear, Leyla Fernandez. Let's talk about her, because holy crap, what was she wearing at the French? Because
so at the, yep.
Tell me.
Yeah, so she's wearing, and she wore it at US Open this year.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I can spell it to you.
Please
and
do.
It's AESEM. It's something very
like,
I'm
it
sure
has to be close to
British.
that. It has to be close to that, right?
And it's her dad's brand, and it hasn't launched
What?
yet. So yeah, so I talked to Layla about this actually right before the US Open. So I had a conversation with Layla in August.
Okay.
And I was like, what is going on with the shoes? And she's another one. She has a Lululemon deal, for those that don't know,
yep.
For all her apparel, and is quite popular for it. But
Yep.
Lululemon obviously does not make tennis shoes at this time. They make
That
women's
they're
running
making,
shoes.
it's running shoe. It's not training shoe, right?
They have a women's running shoe and a women's training shoe,
But
more like a
nothing
workout, like a fitness shoe. Not
like
there's no court.
yeah.
There's nothing court in the lineup. Obviously,
Got it.
slides, sandals, and stuff. But there's
Yeah.
nothing remotely court in the Lululemon lineup.
Got it.
And so she has freedom to
Yep.
wear what shoe she wants. She never did sign a shoe contract. When she signed her Lululemon apparel contract, she never did sign a footwear deal. She wore On for a while.
A very
She
long
wore
time.
Asics for a while, and then over a year
Puma.
ago now. So in 2023 at the US Open, after she'd been eliminated in the singles, she was still going in the doubles. She wore the Breanna Stewart Stewie signature basketball shoe
Loved it.
from Puma,
Yeah.
and made waves. And that was a fun one. And so I've been watching, since then. She has gone back between, so already this year, she has worn four different brands in match play. She's worn On, she's gone
Yep.
back and forth with On, she's gone back and forth with Asics, who she was with before Lululemon, we shouldn't
Yep.
mention. And then she has donned some Pumas again, the Breanna Stewart shoe, which is obviously a court shoe, but not a tennis shoe. And then at the French, she wore her dad's brand, obviously probably not ready for a grass court shoe from a brand that hasn't even launched yet. But then come US Open, she went back to, she had a hard court version of that for the whole tournament.
So let it. So since you talked to her, have you talked to her dad yet about the shoe?
No, I haven't talked to her dad yet. I don't know when they plan to launch. If you go, they do have a website that's, you can put in your email and get in, the launch it or whatever. But it's got, it's there. It'll launch at some point. Obviously, Layla will be the face of that brand. I have not gotten a pair. I haven't worn them. I don't know what they're like. And I don't know the relationship between her and her dad, as far as if she wants to be wearing them or loves them, or I don't know any of that.
Well, here's a question. The first thing I thought about when you said it's her dad's brand is Big Baller Brand by LeVar Ball. Like that's what your dad's making a shoe, you're wearing them, but no one else has them. Wouldn't you want to test these out first during the off season or at the beginning of the year? Or was this kind of just in the works and just decided to throw it out there
There's
mid-season?
a good chance that these have been tested for quite some time, because like
Okay.
you said, all through 2023, she was switching between On and Asics.
Yeah.
And so she's obviously comfortable. Some people, they don't want to switch shoes ever.
Yeah.
It's somewhat rare to find a player switch a shoe, even within a brand, switch a shoe silhouette
Yeah.
ever, let alone in a season. Layla's wearing different shoes, different brands during the same tournament. So, for whatever reason, it doesn't bother her to switch shoes. So I would say there's a good chance she's been testing this with her dad for quite some time.
Okay.
And so was comfortable wearing. And then, for her sake, she's able to then, match the kit a little bit, the French Open.
The all
Lululemon
red.
Kit,
It looked good.
It matched with the shoes, and then same thing with US Open, because obviously she knows what she's wearing, Lululemon coming down, so then they can prototype that into the shoe as well. So I don't think it's some like sudden thing where all of a sudden she's just wearing them, but Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as what her dad tries to do with the brand moving forward, or if this is just a fun project that that he's working on. I can't imagine that's the case,
It
but
can't really be a fun project if you're making your daughter, who's a professional tennis player, a US Open finalist, wear the shoes mid-season. No, like we had, I sent, I think you reached out to me to ask me about these shoes, right? During the French.
I saw them and
We had
I
no
figured out
idea.
and I couldn't figure out what they were, and I could read them and I was searching. So I emailed a bunch of different people, you included, just being like, hey, have you heard, have you seen these before, whatever.
Never.
And then finally Layla's agent got back to me a little
Yeah.
bit later than I was wanting, but he got back to me and was like, yeah, this is what's going on. So
But
it was took a little time, but they're not wanting people to know necessarily yet, right? It's not,
okay. It's not a public, like, they're
you
not
can't go
ready to
buy them.
launch.
Yeah, exactly. So
You're
they're
not
gonna
ready to
want to wait.
launch.
They're gonna want to wait until they're have them at retail before they really make any sort of splash with them.
She should have been. Honestly, and I don't, this is not against her dad or anything. She should have just signed a deal with Puma. Can you imagine if she was wearing basketball shoes on hard courts? Like, that would be incredible. Like, I think that would be so cool for the sport. We talk about the culture, the cultures of different sports colliding, and we talk about Tiafoe now, like, building his brand with bigger athletes in the NBA and the NFL. You're telling me you couldn't do this for the WNBA? Like, her wearing the, especially the ones that she's coming out with. I'm a bit of a shoe nerd in Harry Potter world going into this conversation because Breanna Stewart's coming out with that Slytherin pair of Stewie two. Is it Stewie twos?
It's either the twos unless the threes are out now.
But like, if she was wearing that during a tournament, I would have loved to see that because that just creates so much more attention and cross promotion when we talk about the two brands. Like, that would be insane.
Yeah, and there, this could go back to your earlier question. The reason she maybe didn't pursue a deal with Puma was maybe because she knew her dad was coming with this and she was going to switch to that anyway.
Okay.
So it could have been a stopgap. It could have been a, and as we know, she said it. I talked to Puma about it, last year. Puma had no idea she was going to wear it. She literally
Oh,
bought them
wow.
at a store. Like she
Oh, that's
bought them.
awesome. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
she tried them on at a, I don't know which store it was, but she tried them on at a store, liked them, so she bought them.
That's
And then
awesome.
she just decided to wear them. Puma had no idea. They hadn't even sent any to her. It wasn't so, and then the other thing to think of, it's not like brands just are haphazardly throwing out deals. That's very, they have a budget, right? And if Puma
There's a
has
strategy
zero
to it.
dollars, yeah,
Yeah.
there's $0 in Puma's budget for tennis for obvious reasons because they're not in the sport. So it doesn't really make sense, even, and I'm not saying Layla's asked them, I don't think she has, but even if Layla's agent went to Puma and said, hey, how about a deal? Puma's probably going to say no simply
Yeah.
out of the fact that it's not in their marketing strategy. There's no connection to them. They're not going to sell any product. Maybe they sell a couple extra, Stewie shoes. So maybe it makes sense, but it's so outside the box and different that I'm sure they would gladly send her product as much as she would want. But, I don't see like some sort of long-term deal there.
And if we were to transition, and I like that because we also have to remember that this is all a business, and we talked about this like many times. I think the end of the year, or beginning, yeah, the end of the year recap we did last year, we talked about the strategy you have to do to create a player exclusive shoe, the or creating a new line for a new player or for a new sport. It takes months or years in advance to just create the line and match it up to the athlete that they're basing it off of. So you're right with Puma. I just wish that's like a pipe dream to get the culture together. And if we talk about putting cultures together, if we talk about the Roger Federer RF1, which we haven't even released our own at the time of recordings, haven't released our own review yet, but we will soon. So make sure you're subscribed for that or following the channel. Self plug there, Tim. What did you think of it? Oh, yes.
So just I've got the RF 01 here, right here. This is the main version. There's the light and the pro. Basically, weights are the main differences there. It's a 98 square inch head for those that don't know. It has the RF
The
detailing,
branding's insane. The branding's so nice.
the two lines, for the twins and
Is it
everything.
really?
That's what he says. That's what he told me. So, yeah. So
That's
it's
sick.
slick. It's black here, and then it fades to a lighter, kind of a grayish,
It's a grayish,
here.
reflective
Yeah,
look.
and he told me he likes the fade because of the makes the shot look prettier. Thinks the
That's kind of
tennis swing
cool.
is so pretty that he wants to kind of highlight it with the strokes. So yeah, I enjoy it. I like hitting with it, and
It's a cool
nobody
racket.
can play like Roger, but I mean, that's the whole thing with anytime you put branding on something, right? It's,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm not going to play like Roger, obviously, but it's fun to be a part of something. If you're a big fan of Federer, now you get to have, a racket that you can actually play with
Yeah.
that, he had a hand in. I don't want to, obviously, we don't want to pretend like the pro staff never existed and that, there weren't RF signature pro staffs because there were. But those are rackets. I don't know if at my level, and I'm fine admitting this, at my level, I could not, properly play with the RF signature pro staff, with my level. So it's kind of fun to have something that's a little bit unique
Oh
and a
yeah.
little bit to have in the mix.
I'm not going to give too much away. I will just talk about the branding of it. The branding of it is fantastic. It's the most Federer-esque thing that they could have done, and they did it. I think it's spot on with who he is, the Laver Cup, the way it looks. It just looks pretty from a cosmetic standpoint.
When I talked to him in New York in August, I think it was when I sat down with Roger,
Lucky,
that was
by the
one of
way,
the
just throwing that out there. Tim just gets to interview Roger Federer about his latest brand. Like, cool. I'm so jealous.
it's fun. It's fun. It's perks of the job. He's a pleasant guy. He's probably the nicest, kindest athlete that you can interview. So that's fun in itself. But yeah, I think what makes it fun, you mentioned the Laver Cup, and he had mentioned to me that they hope to do kind of some drops, in a way
Yeah.
of rackets. Now, obviously, you can often get a pair of shoes for in the $100 range. Rackets, you're 250 plus on this stuff. So it's not for everybody, and Wilson gets that. But there's Laver Cup edition RF01s.
Yeah.
So we already saw it, 2 months or a month, I guess, after the initial launch of
Yeah.
the three versions of the RF. Then there's the iteration for Laver Cup, which is obviously his event. So, it
Yes.
makes sense. But, then it goes to the next thing of, well, when are we going to see other ones? Because already there's not a lot of brands doing special edition rackets that are kind of just fun, almost a collector's item, obviously for people that are willing to spend the money. Wilson, though, does it, with sponsoring Roland Garros and US Open. Each year they do a few different rackets, whether it's a Clash or a Blade or whatnot, shift, in the tournament colorway design that's
And it's
specific for that year. So now we already have that with Roland Garros coming next. I'm eager to see, are we going to see a Roger Federer 01 Roland Garros edition next to the Clash and the Shift and the Blade? Or, are there other events we're going to see it with?
I think there's two things that I would comment to that is one, we have to remember too, this is not the first time Wilson has done the specific colorway for Laver Cup. They did it originally. I believe the first one was red, the second one was blue. And I remember when it first came out, someone leaked a photo. And I'm going to admit this right now. Someone leaked the photo, sent it to me, and I posted it. And then Wilson told me to take it down on Instagram because they didn't want it being publicized before they did, which was, again, wild to me. But I still thought it was cool. Then the blue one happened. And now this one,
It's very, it's in line with Roger's brand, with the exclusivity of it all. And when we talk about the other tournaments, yeah, it would be great to see them do for a Roland Garros one, but yeah, he won it. But then it's, are they too focused on Roger rather than Rafa? Because that's kind of like, do they stick to
Well, so what we're
favorites in
talking
that
about,
effect?
no, so what we're talking about here is different tournaments have an official racket.
Yeah.
So, the official racket of Roland Garros is Wilson. So
Yes.
the only company that can put the Roland Garros logo on a racket and
Is
sell it.
Wilson.
So Rafa's not in the equation. It's not Roland Garros saying that we're supporting Roger. It's not, Babolat, not doing a Roger. Roth, it's Wilson has the it all goes back to the business side.
It does.
Wilson has the contract with Roland Garros and US Open. And so where Babolat has the contract with Wimbledon, so Babolat during they generally only do the team versions of their rackets for some of the more affordable versions, I guess, have some Wimbledon designs on them. They do some cool bags and stuff. So, everybody's doing it, but that's why I'm saying that that's kind of the first opportunity for a major tournament. And it won't be Australia because they don't have Wilson and Australian Open
It's
on, together.
Dunlop, right?
Right. It's Dunlop. So, you'll see the opportunity come at Roland Garros where we've already seen Wilson do Roland Garros themed
Branding.
multiple class shift blade the
Yeah.
last few years or whatever. So we're just, I'm curious to see if the Federer racket, gets added to that mix or if it doesn't.
It seems flipped. The reaction I just had, it's like Babolat should be Roland Garros. A French, again, you have to explain this to me. How did the French lose Babolat as it's a French company? How do you lose that? Like, as a brand, don't you want that?
Well, there's obviously a point where it's not worth it to you financially anymore because Babolat was the official. Well, let's take the ball, for example. Babolat was the official ball of Roland Garros for quite a while,
Yeah.
and it's now Wilson, and obviously the rackets are, with that deal as well. So there was obviously at some point there, I don't remember the exact year, a few years ago, the Babolat deal was up, and now it's open bidding, and
Wilson took it.
come what may.
And if we were to talk about, we know Rogers kind of got it in his own branded racket, his own specifically designed to play like Roger racket. If we look at recently with the news of Rafael Nadal retiring, will we see something similar happen to Babolat the way it happened for Roger? Will we see that Rafael Nadal racket kind of the same way branded for Roger?
Well, they already have it. So that came out. That was what early in 2024, the Pure
Pink,
Era Origin.
the pink blue
Yeah.
one,
So
that's his.
that's his specs.
Okay.
Obviously, they don't say it's his exact specs because he's known for tweaking
So
some
many
specs,
things.
a little bit here and there depending on where he's playing and whatnot. But it's pretty much, the weight and a lot of that stuff
Okay.
is similar. Obviously, it's not going to be exact, and all the real, racket nerds out there, I get it. It's not exact, but it's close. It's as close as you're gonna get from a
Yeah.
retail product, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yes.
But they already have that out there, and they'll just continue to market that. So and we'll see what they do. Obviously Roger has that. It's not technically a lifetime contract with Wilson.
It feels like it.
I was talking to Roger's agent. Like, what's the terminology? And it's like it's a incredibly long-term contract that is basically a lifetime contract without, having no end at all. And so, it'll be interesting to see, how interested is Rafa in being part of this process moving forward? How interested is Babolat in? I mean, it takes money, right? I mean, obviously creating an entire Roger Federer collection and working with Roger, it takes lots of money to create that and then market that and
Yeah.
produce it. Sell it and all that. And obviously the whole goal, everybody knows, supply and demand, hopefully they make their money back. That's the goal. but you also have a huge cost up front to commit to that.
Yeah.
So that's different companies have different appetites for whether that's worth it or not. So whether or not we see the Rafa collection grow is going to be, a little bit of, does Babolat think that's a business proposition worth going for? And is Rafa somebody that wants to be involved in making it happen? We already have the one racket, so that might be good enough.
It would just be changed cosmetically, essentially, from that point for hip, right?
Yeah, and we'll you can expect to see that change cosmetically, as seasons go on anyway, just to keep it fresh and new.
Yeah, you have to, because you have to just adapt to the times and everything with that. Because for you too, if we're looking at adapting to the times, I was actually very curious about this Boast article you just wrote about. What it's based in my neck of the woods, based in the 203, based in Connecticut. Very interesting terminology, word terminology they use too to describe their brand. It's a was it from the 70s?
1973, it was born.
It was born, and it was kind of a very unique style of collar and shirt, and people knew it. Like, you look at it, you knew what brand it was. It was very recognizable. But that brand to me is similar to how other brands are trying to revive themselves now in tennis, I would say. And what brands besides Boast have the best potential of making it back into the tennis world?
Yeah, so that's a tough question because my answer was gonna be Boast, and you just
Okay.
answered Boast. I guess I say that because if you ever try their product, it is premium. There are a lot of people will say, the product is premium, da da da. But if you put on something from them, it does feel different and it is premium. But at the same time, there's a lot of people trying to do that, right? I mean, so I don't know. Yeah, I hate to punt the question, but
Yeah.
there's a list of brands that I'm interested in watching. But as far as the specific, kind of rebirth idea, I
Yeah.
don't know that there's a lot that are gonna be able to do the rebirth thing, or even a lot
Okay.
trying to do the rebirth thing. You have,
Gotcha.
I think right now you're seeing, like we talked about at the top. You're seeing a lot of brands that are welcoming, when we talk about, Boss, right? You're seeing a lot of brands welcoming the sport right now because it's so hot. Let's bring up Lululemon again with Layla.
Yeah.
In New York during the US Open, their main Fifth Avenue store just went tennis,
Love that.
Fifth Avenue,
Absolutely love that.
US Open. And they, for the first time, they'd made tennis gear. Like you could buy gear to wear playing tennis, male or female, for years. But for the first time, they came out with like a lifestyle collection of tennis. I think they called it the
Love that.
Lululemon Tennis Club. You had
Love
crew
that.
necks,
Oh, that's
hoodies,
right. Yeah.
long sleeve t-shirts. They sold out of some of the stuff. They used Leila Fernandez to promote it. So you're seeing a lot of brands do that kind of thing where it's a brand you've definitely heard of. It's definitely big, and they're welcoming tennis. And then you have Boast, trying to do the rebirth. And then you have things like I always mispronounce it, Sigrun.
Yeah, I was about to say they have been a company that's been on my radar for the past couple of years. I still wear their hoodie, I still wear their shirt. They have some great stuff, and now they recently did a campaign with college tennis players, the Kotsen brothers. One playing at Tennessee, one played at Columbia. So it's good to see kind of that base brand do well, and they're that premium kind of feel
They're
too.
that premium, but they're the new. So to me, they're a third category because I think it's 2021 they started. They're based in New York. For those that don't know, they have the serving bagels daily is kind
Love
of, to
that.
me, that's, I love that. It's
Love that shirt.
do a t-shirt and I think a hoodie as well with that, kind of one of their taglines. So, to me, that's that third category, that brand new brand that wants to focus on tennis and really be that premium example for the consumer. And so I guess that was the other brand I wanted to kind of mention, as far as those smaller brands that maybe some people don't know about. I think Boast and Sigrun are ones that people should definitely look at. You're going to spend a little bit more
Yeah.
for a t-shirt or a hoodie or whatever it is, you're going to get something a little bit more unique that does have premium quality to it. That's the trade-off you get. But then you also have, even something like a Reebok, right? That's making a
Yeah, I was
Porsche.
about to say.
So it's, I keep going back. Tennis is trendy right now in the fashion space. So big brands can pivot money into that to try to capitalize on that. But you're also going to see, I guess you're just going to have to wait and see how long that lasts. I mean, you have, Lululemon's definitely in it now. They're going. You have Vuori, has a couple players now, and they have. I don't know that they're making tennis gear. I mean, their shirt, you can wear their shirt doing whatever, right?
It's
So it's
not
not the.
tennis. It's not labeled as tennis specific. It's like an athleisure brand, kind of like Lululemon, but you have players that are wearing it specifically on the court. Marcus Giron won the ATP 250 tournament in Newport, and he's sponsored by Vuori. Who else is sponsored by Eden Silva from Great Britain? There's a bunch of athletes now that are sponsored by it that are kind of
So
getting into that space.
exactly. So I think there's just so many. I mean, we didn't talk about, Eubanks and
Oh.
Jay Berg and what, kind of a more fashion brand or a golf brand coming in. So you have a lot of different brands from a lot of different, whether it's, Big Reebok, Rebirth of Boast, whatever.
Yeah.
Even I was going to mention, you got Yonex. They're partnering now with a firm called Market to create some apparel that's
Oh,
a
they
little
did
bit
get
more
market from the New York-based company, correct?
correct. So that initial launch was US Open. They had some gear at their pop-up, in New York for that. They're going to be doing some more stuff with them moving forward. You even have that, classic tennis brand. And then, I'm going to go back to Wilson. They have that whole sports style
Their Wilson stuff
line.
is so nice.
That it's premium. You're paying the premium price, but it is a premium product, which most people probably,
We'll already
didn't
pay if it's,
associate with it.
yeah.
So I think you're seeing brands from every walk of apparel embracing tennis right now. And so it gives what I like is it gives the consumer so many options. Whatever your style is, whatever your price point is, whatever your favorite, type of product from, tanks to hoodies to tees to dresses to what
Shorts,
you
literally
wear,
everything.
literally everything from every walk of brand there is across the world. There's somebody embracing tennis in your little niche of fashion, and I think that's only good for the consumer.
I also forgot to mention Seagreen is also sponsoring Nate Lammons and Jackson Withrow, who are doubles. One Newport as well. They have been sponsored by them for a
Years now.
year, a
Few years.
year, a few years. So it's another one like you have people wearing it, you have people liking it. So it's great to see. And I think you've already touched on this, but we're going to throw it out there anyways. If you were to tell us the five brands you expect great things or you want to see more of in 2025, what are the top five brands that you would pick?
That I want to see more of.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I want to see, I'll
You have
get to
so many
answering
options.
it, but I kind of want to narrow it down. What do you want to? Because I think there's two worlds that we should talk about. Is one
Okay.
is on the professional courts, right?
Okay.
Like, for example, doesn't have professional athletes right now. They'll get there if,
Yeah.
if things go well for them. That's down the road. Seagreen has, the two that you just mentioned, the doubles players. That would be one I definitely want to see more of. Boast, I want to see more of. I also want to see more of Wilson, what they're doing with Marta,
Yeah.
with dress and, new, performance gear and stuff. So I want to see more of Wilson, but at the same time, I want to see more of Nike if they're going to invest in it. We didn't talk about the Alcaraz Wimbledon Player Edition shoe. So if they're going to do that kind
Oh,
of
there's
stuff,
so
I
much
want to
stuff.
see more of
Yeah.
Nike as well. So now I'm at four already, and I haven't even touched on ASICS, which I think I said at the top makes one of the best performance footwear. And then we haven't even talked at all about, the Coco CG2 and, the only brand super investing in signature shoes for tennis. You talked about basketball crossover, signature shoes, and for a female athlete. So I want to see more New Balance too. I'm at six and I could keep going.
I like it. That's just some. Like, it's not even the tip of the iceberg because you even mentioned Nike. Like, we haven't even talked about big brands yet, and we could do this forever. And I think the last thing I want to talk to you about is, and I, again, thank you, Tim, for coming on the channel and talking to us about all this. It's so much fun talking to you and nerding out about all these pieces of clothing, these shoes, this pieces of gear. Make sure to check them out in the description below for Forbes articles and Felton Alley Instagram. I did say it correctly that time, correct?
Felt Alley Tennis is what we're
Felt
talking
Alley
about.
Tennis. Thank you. Felt Alley. One of these days I will get it right. Nike, the Sinner shirt that Sinner wore after he beat Novak, the Shanghai edition Nike shirt is another thing we haven't talked about with him, with recent controversy, but also with Alcaraz getting his PE shoe, with him getting like a custom pair of dunks a while ago when he won the French Open, him getting that player edition that is retailing more now for, I think it's 180 now for the player edition Nike Vapor. I could be wrong about that, but that sounds about right to me. And Sinner still going with the Vapors. What is it? The Vapor 4, but getting the new colorways for each one, which is wild to me. That they're still doing that. And he's getting like his own logo. He already has his own logo that's on Nike, but now it's customizable with Nike. So people are talking about that. Is next year going to be the year that Nike's going to announce all these player editions or signatures for Alcaraz, for Sinner, any women that I'm thinking of, even for Sabalenka? Are we going to start seeing those logos again like we did for Roger, Rafa, and Serena?
I hope so.
Okay.
I can't say with certainty, but we have to. With the amount of money that they've spent to re-sign Carlos and Yannick, they have to recoup that in some way. And part of that, it is, we've talked a lot about how expensive it is to make a signature shoe
Especially
is
golf, yeah.
incredible. And we may see one for Alcaraz, and I hope we do. But one thing that's not that expensive is to slap a logo on a shoe.
Yes.
And so, we saw it, the player edition for Alcaraz, at Wimbledon, it was a great start. So that to me already was the
Right
sign that
direction.
this is where we're going. It takes time. Everybody just thinks, well, why don't we do it? The Coco shoe, this is an 18 to 24 month process.
Yeah.
Obviously it's New Balance, not Nike, but it's the same thing. They've got new teams at Nike. There's lots of stuff going on at Nike that's bigger than obviously there's lots of sports bigger than tennis at Nike, but there's
Yes.
also lots of things behind the scenes going on that's bigger than the sports, just from a business point of view. So there's probably a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of moving parts. It's a huge corporation now.
Yeah.
So things don't happen quickly as they do at some of the smaller brands. So will we see something? I would be shocked if we don't. I don't know if that'll end up being the full signature in 2025, but we'll definitely start seeing player editions and more from that. We already seen, Sabalenka with her, her kits are unique to her. We've seen the shoe work with Alcaraz and Sinner, and then some of the t-shirts and kits and different things. So it's already started. It's only gonna grow, I would think.
I totally agree, and that's a perfect bow on our conversation today, Tim. I really do appreciate you coming on and joining us. It's always fun talking to you. And if you guys like what you hear, make sure to follow us. Make sure to follow Tim. Felt Alley Tennis on Instagram. Our latest collaboration post was one of the biggest ones we've ever had, just from Babolat. And I even surprised Tim by how well that did. Thank you, Tim. I really do appreciate it. Where else can people check you out?
Twitter or whatever we call it now, TD Newcomb. You're going to get tennis stuff. You're also going to get some stadium stuff. And then the Felt Alley Tennis on Instagram. Those are the two places on social that you'll get some tennis stuff from me.
I love it. Thank you again for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Enjoy it. Love talking tennis gear.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.